The Jets are reported to 4 deaths inside prison walls, has painted a picture of a broken system in need of major change, and made 17 recommendations designed to bring about that change. NAPE President Jerry Earle represents the correctional officers who work in the province's correctional institutions. He joins me live in studio this morning. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Patty. Thank you for having me.
Happy to have you on. So you've had a chance to go through the report and see the recommendations. What's your reaction?
First of all, and I believe I heard Mr. Grusha say, none of these recommendations come as any surprise. There's many things that we've been talking about. Many of them I'd go as far as say they're common sense, but unfortunately, common sense sometimes is the most difficult things to follow through on. We have been talking about for some time, and I'm sure you've heard us talk about the need for advancements in mental health in these correctional facilities, not just the ones mentioned, but all of them. I've seen this report where psychiatrists are available one day per week. I see where people have had to wait for up to 4 days to see a psychiatrist because of the psychiatrist's schedule and that. Correctional officers with as little as a 4% uptake in mental health training and to no fault of their own because of a system that's not designed to put the infrastructure, the educational supports. No matter what profession you work in, educational support is absolutely necessary. Again, we've talked about the increase in mental health illness inside these facilities, drug addiction issues. Do you think the staff would have been kept up with and supported to be able to deal with these growing concerns within the prison populations?
And of course, it's an investigation into the 4 deaths.
Absolutely.
But it obviously has a big impact on those working inside the walls of these prisons as well. So with the report and the aftermath of the deaths in the correctional facilities, how are the COs reacting?
The COs, again, have had some very difficult times because nobody, whether you're a correctional officer, no matter where you might work, would you want to see the loss of human life in such tragic circumstances as this? I can't imagine what the families are going through, but also our correctional officers are going through a very difficult time under a lot of scrutiny. They realize the importance of their work and the importance of having the appropriate tools to be able to do their work every day. Just things simple as education, being able to give proper education and training, that just hasn't been there. I'm not sure if you looked at the numbers in the report, like when this training has been offered, less than, I think it's 4% have done mental health training. More of the inmates have the mental health training, believe it or not, than the staff themselves. First aid training, less than 50%. Road to mental health readiness, around 29%. That cannot continue to go on. We've been saying this for some period of time, and I've said before, it's time for the talk to stop, the reviews to stop, the inquiries to stop, and people to act. It's probably not a politically popular thing to do, but it's something that's absolutely necessary to do. It just can't continue. And I think, and give credit to the current minister, I've had conversations with him before this report has gone down. They've been doing some things now to try to adapt some of the physical things that has to happen. Again, it's not politically popular to build a prison compared to an hospital or a school or a new road. It's always been put on the back burner. We're going to make sure it remains on the front burner where it's right now because it has to happen, and I know it can't happen immediately, but that has to happen. That's a significant, but in the interim, there's things that can be done if you talk to the frontline staff. Again, advocacy, and then engage in the frontline workers to be able to work in the current environment. Because I think you've been inside that facility.
I have
on one occasion. I've said earlier, thankfully, I don't have to go in there every day and work or be incarcerated in there 24/7. It's HNP in particular is unbelievable, and every other correctional facility is pretty well busting at the seams. We've heard about overcrowding in the women's center, where sometimes the women have had to be brought to St. John's to be mailed hours in the male institution. That's, again, not acceptable and speaks to a systemic problem that has to be dealt with. It's not just about inside the walls, what's happening outside the walls as well.
Do the correctional officers feel like there's been a finger of blame pointed at them in this report?
Not in the report itself. I think they were, when these incidents was talked about in public and everything, that what the correction officers might or might not have done. I can tell you these women and men that go to work every day, as in many of the facilities, do a commendable job. You got to remember, they're correctional officers. Their primary functional is the custodial aspect of the work, ensuring the safety as much as as much as they can of the inmate population and the general public. They're not health care providers nor mental health providers. So a significant piece that's been lacking when you look at this is the mental health component of the work. Psychiatrists part-time, I wouldn't even call it part-time, one day a week is not, when you talk about the increase, 87% increase in mental health issues inside these facilities. So is one day a week for psychiatrists sufficient? I don't think so. The correctional officers don't believe so. And the other supports that are, whether it be, and I've seen already they've acted on, and I believe you've heard Minister Agy talk about it, moving some of that component towards the healthcare side. That's a right thing to do. And this government's acted on, started to move in that direction. There's still further actions as that, but again, consultation with the frontline people that do this work every day is an absolute must.
How confident are you that these 17 recommendations will be implemented? We've been told they will be, but time is of the essence. How confident are you?
In conversations, I can only take the minister at face value. We've sat down at a conversation since this report, face-to-face with the minister, along with some leadership at the local correction officers. He's made that commitment that they will be acted on. I take him at his word, and while I'm in this position, I'm certainly going to pursue this administration or any administration to make sure those recommendations are acted on. We've seen a report before, Decades of Darkness. Unfortunately, it collected dust in many instances. I'm not going to let the recommendations in this report collect dust. We're going to pursue, while I'm here, I can only speak for during my tenure, to make sure this is acted on. They'll be regularly reminded, and we'll pursue what is necessary to see that this report is followed through on
the
behalf
issue,
of our staff and inmates.
Fair enough. The issue of drugs in prison is always hard for me to understand. You know, I know they throw it over the wall, and some people are willing to sneak it in. What needs to change to keep more drugs out of the penitentiaries?
It's unimaginable. I remember showing a while back, and I've actually seen it a while ago, some of the methods of getting drugs in is unimaginable. So having that, number one, intelligence to try to prevent it, having proper equipment trying to prevent it.
And so use more technology on top of just the human body search and the like.
Absolutely. And again, the facility down there is not conducive. Again, the methods for getting things into that facility, it's almost a full-time job of the correction officer themselves. Because again, that's been shown, and I've heard some of the people talk about the increase of incidents in drugs and being able to penetrate, in particular HMP. And that's not uncommon across the country. That happens in other facilities, but it's really pronounced at that facility, and the staff do their best in the physical environment that they have to try to prevent it. But unfortunately, with best efforts, it's still happening. And you can talk to staff, you see the immediate impact when something like it gets inside that facility. It has an impact on inmates, it has an impact on the staff there.
The emotions, the anxiety, the level of violence that all increases because of the presence of illicit drugs inside the penitentiary, unimaginable problem. Jerry, appreciate your time. We'll all keep a close eye on government and making sure that these recommendations are taken seriously and implemented.
Yeah, I agree, Patty. I think we all have a responsibility here, shared responsibility in this province. And again, I know it's not a politically popular thing to do, but it's something that is absolute necessary. It could be, God forbid, any of our children that could end up in that facility because of something, but we have to make sure the environment is in their best interest, that they come out a better person than they went in.
Appreciate your time. Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you very much, Patty.
That's Jerry Earle, NAEP president.